bit, just where Bilbo finds the most important piece of treasure. Because there's a special jewel that Bilbo is trying to, is particularly valuable. It's on page 224, my version. So this is what it says, and the jewel is called the Arkenstone. And he says this, it was the Arkenstone, the heart of the mountain. So Bilbo guessed from Thorin's description, but indeed there could not be two such gems, even in so marvelous a hoard, even in all the world. And ever as he climbed, the same white gleam had shone before him and drawn his feet towards it. Slowly it grew to a little globe of pallid light. Now as he came near, it was tinged with a flickering sparkle of many colours at the surface, reflected and splintered from the wavering light of his torch. At last he looked down upon it, and he caught his breath. The great jewel shone before his feet of its own inner light, and yet cut and fashioned by the dwarves who had dug it from the heart of the mountain long ago, it took all light that fell upon it and changed it into 10,000 sparks of white radiance shot with glints of the rainbow. Suddenly Bilbo's arm went towards it, drawn as if by its enchantment. See, Bilbo has found the great treasure, the jewel of all jewels. And in the Bible, we hear a lot about treasure. Jesus says in Matthew, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man finds and he covers it up, and then in his joy he sells all his possessions and he buys the field so that he can possess the treasure. And what Jesus is saying is that to find the kingdom of heaven, that's the place where Jesus rules, where Jesus is Lord of your life, is like having a great treasure. And it brings immense amounts of joy. Recently, we've been thinking a lot about, if you would believe it or not, about life. Okay, it's everywhere. Jesus, or John writes these words, he says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John writes that believing in Jesus leads to life. In fact, earlier Jesus himself describes this as abundant life. So finding the treasure of knowing the rule of Jesus in your life and finding this abundant life through belief in Jesus, these are like two sides of the same coin. The Apostle Paul also has something to say about treasure. Paul says this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So we have a coin. On one side, we've got the Lordship of Jesus leading to great joy. And on the other side, we've got belief in Jesus leading to abundant joy and abundant life. And then we'd have Paul's words. This is our coin. Paul's words would then be engraved, I think, around the edge of a coin. If you happen to have a £2 coin, the one I used to have, it said on the edge of it, standing on the shoulders of giants, was this quote. I think Paul's words would be engraved on our coin. And you see, for Paul, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, where he said this, this treasure is the good news about Jesus. Specifically, he says it's the miracle of seeing and knowing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. This is the miracle of becoming a Christian. It's moving from being spiritually blind to being able to see who Jesus really is. What we've been marking in the baptismal tank, that transformation. If you like, this is the essence of what it is to know the great joy of the Lordship of Jesus and to have abundant life. It's to actually see Jesus as the greatest treasure. Just as Bilbo holds up the Arkenstone, and it glitters, and it radiates light. So Jesus is the greatest treasure that we can possibly have. He is life. To have Jesus, to see Jesus, is to have the life that John talks about. Often we think living the life, you know, it's a holiday home by the sea. Perhaps it's a sun lounger on a tropical beach. Maybe, a bit more conservative, maybe it's just drifting from one coffee shop to the next, sampling your way through a selection of cakes. I have a fan. Or life, just life spent doing your favourite hobby. You know, fill in the blank. Gaming, football, cycling, you know, reading, whatever it's going to be. But that's, those things are all temporary. The life, joy, hope is found in seeing who Jesus is. Really seeing who he is. And the thing about Jesus, and we said it's like a treasure. I've never actually held a big diamond. Okay, the closest I've got to a diamond is probably the one Susan's wearing on her finger. But I've seen them. And people hold them up and you turn them in the light. There's always something new to see. And that's what it's like with Jesus. There's always something new to gaze upon. And I know there's many people here, and you know this. But there might be some here and you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? But if you have any interest in life, in treasure, in hope, then please come and speak to us at the end. We're actually running starting on the 27th, in a little course called Hope Explored. And if you have any interest in who Jesus is or you want to find out more about him, it's 3 weeks. We've got a morning slot and an after evening slot. Speak to myself, speak to Thomas, speak to John, and we'd happily talk to you about this. But Jesus is this great treasure. Now, Paul's going to continue in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm just going to read it in a minute, but I sometimes think Paul would make a very poor motivational speaker. Okay, and as I read this, you'll understand why. So he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. See, you listen to a motivational speaker, they say, you're worth it. You're a winner. You forge your own path. You seize your own potential. What does Paul say? You're a jar of clay. Which is like, go back to the first century, a way of saying, you're nothing special. You're not even decorated. You know, it's like the egg Thomas held up this morning, undecorated. Just plain old egg. Okay? No fancy paintwork, no decorations. This is what Paul says. Okay? We are just jars of clay. Okay? Nothing special. But we're jars of clay. The reason we this is to show that the power to transform life, the power that enables us to see the treasure of who Jesus is, comes from God. We didn't find the treasure ourselves. It was given to us. It was a gift. We have this treasure not because we're awesome, not because we're worth it, not because we deserve it, but rather it's to show that God is awesome. It's his power. It's his grace. And Paul's going to continue his motivational speaker bit in the next few verses as he sums up the reality of the Christian life, particularly his Christian life. But he also describes the potential reality of any Christian life. And listen to what he says. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So death is at work in us, but life is in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that his grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And in these last three verses, and we've actually sung these words already this afternoon, so we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day, for this slight and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. See, Paul here is giving us a massive dose of reality. Now, someone can check with Sophie on this, but when she came out of the tank, I just gave her a tap to make sure. Was she coated in armor? She got an invisible layer of armor around her, some, I don't know, vibranium. Okay, we'll go some of the toughest stuff in the universe. She's not made of armor. You know, the tank wasn't some sort of alloy dipping experience. Neither did Thomas or John issue her with a lifetime baptism warranty, guaranteeing you against a life of ill health, poverty, insecurity, and lack of protection in life, or a full money-back guarantee. That's not what happened. Possessing the treasure of Jesus is not a free ticket to comfort, security, or health and safety. Listen to Paul's words. Like I say, poor motivational speaker. Afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, always carrying the death of Jesus. Which is always carrying the death of Jesus is his way of saying we always identify with the crucified Messiah, the crucified Lord. And as many of us will know, that will at times not make you very popular. Doesn't seem that a great pitch for encouraging people into perhaps a life of faith. But here's the thing. In carrying the death of Jesus with us, we also carry the source of life, both now and in the future. So that life now is really captured by these little phrases he uses. He uses the word "but not." If you look at what he says we are crushed. Sorry, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. The treasure is in the jar of clay. The jar can take an absolute battering. The jar could be cracked. The jar could have bits broken off it. Can be all chipped. But it is the treasure within which holds it together. And in the trials, in the tough times, it's always worth remembering that Jesus holds onto you far more tightly than you are ever capable of holding on to him. He has you in his hands. That is life just now. Might not be pretty sometimes, but it's knowing that we have a treasure who is absolutely solid. The treasure, Christ, the treasure will not be damaged by the issues of this world. And he keeps us and gives us security and hope. So we have hope just now and we have life just now, but there's also this future life. Again, we've been singing about this. I didn't know what songs we were doing this afternoon, and I didn't tell Russell what the passage was, so it's always nice whenever this comes together. But we have this future life. You know, we're here this morning or this afternoon, and we're celebrating the resurrection. We have the hope of the resurrection. Verse 14 says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus Christ and bring us into his presence one day. Okay, death is defeated, so one day we will stand in the presence of God. If we're still on earth, we will meet him in the air. as we've been singing. And you know, on that day, you know what we will not be? We will not be a jar of clay. Okay? We're going to get new bodies. Okay? We're nae broken bits. And so because we have this future hope, we have this future life before us, Paul says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart because we can see what is happening. Even though sometimes life can be really uncertain, and we're sometimes thinking, Lord, what on earth is happening? Beyond that, we can see clearly what is actually happening and what will happen, in that we have a certain future security, which is ours. And in the midst of all this, while we wait for that future to come, there's a transformation taking place. It's happening right now in this room. There's transformation. There's the bit we don't like to think about, and that is partly we're wasting away. If you're young, you don't appreciate this. I still think, consider myself youngish. Okay. I'm not sure whether people are laughing. I'm just the wrong side of 41. You sense it. Okay, and those who are older, okay, appreciate this maybe a little bit more. There is a wasting away, but not only our bodies, but also around in our world, there's a wasting away. But at the exact same time, there is a renewing taking place. The Holy Spirit's at work. We're being renewed day by day. There's a process going on. God is shaping us. And he shapes us and he's turning us into someone to be more like Jesus. And the process he uses for this sometimes isn't very pleasant. Paul calls it slight or light and momentary affliction. Now, if you know anything about Paul's life, like Paul took numerous beatings, left for dead, drowned or half drowned and shipwrecked. Like, and Paul considers these things light or slight and momentary afflictions. And what Paul wants us to do is look through this life to see what's to come. And when we do that, he says, what we will see is something beyond compare. It's like Bilbo with the Arkenstone. It's this diamond which is beyond compare. And what he says, this is, he describes this, it's the fullness. It's the weight of glory, which will make all of life's struggles seem so light and trivial. And it's we're being prepared to see this, to see more clearly, to see the wonder of who Jesus is. For now, we see dimly, okay? It's as if we're sort of looking through sunglasses. There's a day coming when we will have new eyes that's going to enable us to see Jesus for who he truly is. A colleague of Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, uses the phrase in his Narnia book. He says, we're to go further up and further in. There's no end to what we're going to see. There's just more. It's the diamond. You hold it up to the light, turn it. There's always new things to see about who Jesus is. So Paul says to us in conclusion, how are we then to live in the rest of our lives just now? He says effectively, keep your eye on the treasure. Never tire of looking at Jesus. Never tire of finding out more about Jesus. Never tire of worshiping Jesus. Don't be distracted by temporary things, but focus on him who is eternal, who died and was raised, who is the Lord, who is the King. He's the risen one that we celebrate today. So let's lift our eyes, let's lift our voices now as we sing just to finish, and let's praise Jesus, because he is the one who is alive today. He's a treasure. that we get to behold. Let's sing.